This episode of Stars and Characters is brought to you in part by Star Wars Allegiance, the full audiobook available from audible.com. Allegiance follows the Empire immediately after the destruction of the first Death Star in Star Wars A New Hope. You can download Allegiance for free or any one of the other Star Wars titles audible.com carries by visiting audibletrial.com/SWIC. Again, that's audibletrial.com/SWIC for your free audiobook.
Loose lips sink ships, come on! Loose
lips kills parents, it rhymes.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the elements that make up the Star Wars universe. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now, here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today, we are talking about Zev Seneca.
Ding, 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 ding.
The Hulk music?
Yeah.
Well,
he died. He didn't become a gamma-radiated monster.
That's a shame. This Zev Seneca is, I think, just he's so sweet and so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're doing them.
That's
in tribute.
In tribute. Zev Seneca appears in the greatest Star Wars film ever.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday special.
He's in episode one.
Ewoks join the fight.
Empire Strikes Back. All right. These names aren't bad. All right. They're not the...
Would you let us judge that? Just tell us the names.
Yeah.
All right. My name is Chris Defer Malcolm.
Okay.
Is that good?
It is great.
Okay. Today I'm joined by Merciless Matt.
Merciless?
Merciless was the Imperial class Star Destroyer that killed his parents.
Oh. Uh-huh. Thanks for watching the whole...
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
To my right, Rogue Squadron Dave.
Why?
Dren Dave.
I always love to find it with a connection.
And this one's worse than that one.
Ready? Okay.
And Rogue 2 Tim.
Rogue 2.
How about Tim? Rogue Tim.
Nah, I like Rogue. I like 2 in there. Don't ask me why.
He likes 2 in there.
Mm-hmm. Just pack it up. Well, Rogue Squad Dave.
Yeah.
Please give us some nice, sweet facts about Zev Seneca, who we will miss.
All right. Well, yeah.
He will be missed.
We'll talk about the actor that has passed away, but I figured we record a bunch of episodes at once, and he has died at this point, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, maybe?
Brand new.
We're going back about a month, I guess.
It's been that long?
By the time this comes out, yeah, I guess.
Well, by the time this comes out, it will have been about a month. Yeah.
Okay. And, so, figured we would do it eventually. Might as well do it in tribute to the gentleman.
Yes.
So we'll talk about him a little later. But Zev Seneca is a member of Rogue Squadron and famously seen as part of the defense of the Rebel Alliance at Echo Base on Hoth and Empire Strikes Back. Now, Chris has the scene.
I do.
He's got two major scenes here. He's in the movie for 37.7 seconds.
Woo!
And I know I always loved that first scene, probably the scene that Chris has, because it always conveyed such joy to me and friendship. Like when you're a kid, these are your heroes that are lost in the snow.
Oh yeah.
And it was perilous. Like I remember we're 7 and this is like, you know, we didn't know because we were children.
We were worried. Han and Luke were gone.
Of course. Like now you watch it. It's like, well, you know, it's Harrison Ford. He's going to live.
Right, right.
But when we were little, what do we know? You know, like they're out in the freezing cold.
Right. He's going to point up at the thing and he's going to be found.
Right. So this is like high peril.
Yes.
For us. So do you have a scene?
I do.
Commander Skywalker, do you copy? This is Rogue 2.
Good morning. I see an urge to drop by.
Echo Base, this is Rogue 2. I found them. Repeat, I found them.
And he says it with a smile.
Oh, yeah. He's all teeth.
There's so many great things about that particular scene. Where when you first come out, you see I think this is the first time you see one of the snow speeders flying in the movie.
That
is a good point. Testify.
It is going up and down, and it's almost like, you know, one of those little motion rides if you've seen in the theater, because the camera's going to your phone right behind it, so you're getting a little seasick watching it. The music is awesome. The sound effect of the radar thing going is really cool.
Yeah.
And then you got Zev, who is, you know, smiling, and then you find Han Solo, and yeah, when he finds Han Solo, he's like, yay, my buddies. And it takes, like, I think the whole thing is what, like 12 seconds, 15 seconds,
16 seconds.
And it's just like one of the best 16 seconds of all of the entire film.
Well said, Tim.
Once they're declared found, that Major Derlin just bolts right out of the base on foot to their location.
Major Derlin just gets a gigantic wet spot.
You can have...
Can't go out. That's going to freeze up, kids.
Tim, if you
can... Before I hit the first marker.
Hear this scene again for 16 seconds, or have a 16-second orgasm, what would it be?
I mean, you're talking personally?
Yes, for you.
Oh, a 16-second orgasm. Come on. I can watch Star Wars anytime I want.
I'll never have a 16-second orgasm.
Yeah, let's face the facts here, kids. That's unnatural. That comes from the devil.
It would drain me like an inflatable doll.
Yeah. That's 3 quarts.
What better way to honor Christopher Mount?
Then with a 21-gun salute, 21-ounce salute.
I picture it now. Just picture it. Like, you remember in Hot Shots where the guy gets a blood transfusion and they leave the needle in too long and he deflates right on the table? Yeah, that's what you look like after a 16-second orgasm.
That's Tim. He's deflated like Dietrich at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
16 seconds later. Ha
ha. Ha ha. Flow high.
Flow high.
Well, at the end, there's like nothing left. That little gun comes out and says bang.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Oh, you're sick. Well, his story reminds me of Wedge's. He was born on Kestic Station, which was a trading outpost in the Bestine system. And his family were like free traders. They were loyal to the Empire, but they were mainly just kind, decent, good people. They had high ideals. Any way that they felt that they could do good in the universe, they would do that. And as most people would, they felt that they could do the best good fighting for the very beginnings of the Rebel Alliance. But what they started doing was they started gun running his parents, Rebel Alliance. They started supplying them illegally with weapons, which was punishable by death. They were taking their lives in their own hands for their cause. And he grew up with these people, and he saw these were his role models. Like, this is what he looked up to. And I think that kind of was like the way Wedge's story was.
Right.
Like, his parents were like these like do-gooders, and Wedge as a child had this ability to want to do what was right in him from the very beginning. And that's kind of how Zev Zaneska was. His parents even encouraged him to leave the station and join the rebellion, which he did. So eventually, as Chris has pointed out, the Star Destroyer Merciless.
Man.
Merciless.
Merciless, man.
They were able to trace. They started to investigate where the rebels were getting their guns.
Right.
And they traced it back to this station. And the Star Destroyer came and just totally destroyed the station.
Parents,
they were killed. Everyone aboard it was killed. And at that point, rather than kind of like the Wedge story, where he became even more entrenched in the rebellion, he turned his back on the rebellion.
Yeah,
he kind of went out on his own. He started doing his own thing, gun running and trading on his own. He kind of blamed the Alliance for the death of his parents. So he kind of turned his back on it and left. Well, it turns out, I mean, this is a total like mind screw. Mm. The reason that the supply lines were traced back to Kestic Station was because he told this friend of his, and the friend is listed in quotes. he told this friend about his parents and all this kind of stuff. Well, it turns out this friend was an informant.
Yeah, son of a bitch.
For the Empire. And this guy told the Empire about Kestic Station and his parents and all the gun running. And
he had his own parents killed.
He had his parents killed.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah, that's... How's you so happy? Find that damn snowspeeder now.
Well, he spends a lot of time then not being happy. I mean, when you see him in the movie, he's happy, right. But he kind of had a sad life.
He reminds me, like, I don't know why he does, but like Bruce Wayne, his parents dying, and he just turns dark and just miserable.
Well, in this case, he blames himself.
He should.
Oh. Loose lips sink ships. Come on, loose
lips kills parents. It rhymes.
He accepted his parents.
It rhymes.
In Chinese, it rhymes. Chang, 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 chang.
Oh, Christ. Bam. It was so easy to edit until this episode.
Tim. Well, he blamed himself.
Sorry, China.
Babaloo.
Babaloo.
He blamed himself for not only the death of his parents, but everyone on the Kestic Station. And then... he reenlisted.
Oh, I thought you were going to say everyone on the Kestic Station blamed him for the death of his parents.
Well, they were dead.
Everywhere he went, it's your fault.
My main question, and this is not answered, but I'm wondering if you guys have any, you want to throw your own two cents in here. Let's help rewrite this story. Who could this friend have been?
Like, Clavin. Who's that guy's name?
You think Major Derlin was an Imperial informant?
No.
I do.
No.
He's so mad, goes, Han, this won't be his friend. He gets so upset.
So the Star Wars Pat Garrett.
Yeah.
That could have been Dane Geer.
Dane Geer, there we go.
It could have been. This, to me, is a story that needs to be written. Like, this could be one of these books. I want to know who this friend
is. I want to know where the gold at. Oh, sorry.
I want to know who this friend is.
Yeah.
That took the information he gave, turned it in the Empire, and all these people die. And
it'd be cool if he found out who it was and fucking revenge.
Yeah.
Let's go after this guy and just hunt him down, chop him up, mail him home.
Chop him up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, did it say if it was a male or female? Did it specify?
It's just bedtime says talk. Friend.
Dion Chiler, because that was her specialty.
Yep.
Ooh.
Firecrotch.
Tim, Matt, I think you need to do a radio drama.
Yep.
With Christy as Tion Chiler and you as Zev Zaneska.
Okay. And then, like, every other line will be like, I found this thing. I found this. Yeah.
Well, he then, after the death of these people and kind of taking responsibility for those deaths, like I said, rejoins the Alliance, and then he becomes one of the better starfighter pilots in the Rebel Alliance. He cuts his teeth fighting all kinds of missions. There's all kinds of missions. Some of these might be from some of the video games you guys played, those Rogue Squadron games, but he becomes known as Rogue Two. He's the oldest member of the squadron. And because of this, when they're on off duty, he kind of stays to himself.
No.
I mean, there's Wedge and Dak and all those guys, and they're kind of doing their thing, but They're all younger guys. He's like an older guy, and he's kind of like off on the side doing his own thing. And maybe it's because
I just can't relate to these guys. I'm here listening to Molly Hatchet, and they're over there listening to their rap.
Yeah, it says that in
just because none of them killed an entire base full of people.
Yeah. They just don't know what it's like to be older like me.
I don't know if it's the fact that he's older or the fact that he's like maybe kind of unstable, but
he's like Riggs.
So what is it, like he Riggs blames himself for his wife's death and that's why he's crazy in those movies?
Yeah,
well,
he was in there.
He's hiring prostitutes and watching cartoons with them.
Empire make him want to smoke?
Oh. Repeat, I found sugar tits.
Oh, that picture you texted me the other day is the funniest thing I saw all week, by the way.
What was that?
No. I think I showed Dave that, and I said this to Matt. I said, don't laugh. He did. I showed Dave, and guess what? He laughed.
Michael Jackson? Yeah, thing?
Alien versus Predator. The E.T. and Michael Jackson picture.
I told you I was going to post this on your wall on Facebook, but I didn't want to be a part of it, posting it for the world to see that I posted it. So I wanted to send it to you personally so no one else knew it. It's not funny. There's no proof. Go on, Dave.
Okay.
There's no proof he didn't either.
Well, there's lots of missions that they fly. He flies a lot with Wedge. He's kind of like Wedge's wingman on a lot of things. And in one of them, he actually saves Luke's life. So without Zev Zaneska, there's no Star Wars.
Yep.
Thank you, Zev.
Well, without Zev Zaneska, there's no Empire Strikes Back or Return of the Jedi.
That's right.
Or no, yeah, no third. Fuck, what? Huh?
But the prequel still exists.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. Oh,
great.
And then the rest of his backstory is pretty much what you see in the movie. He's part of Rogue Squadron, Echo Base. They go out in the cold temperatures, and at daybreak, he can go out to find them. Now, I know that that was part of the movie that it was too cold for anything to go out. It was all going to freeze up. I mean, is right. there that much of a temperature change?
There has to be.
That at daybreak, I mean, as soon as the sun comes up on Hoth, they
it
can go out.
It happens here when the sun comes
up. Yeah, I was going to say, isn't that kind of describe your winter this year?
Okay. I was going to take Earth time, like from 5 to 6 o'clock. Is there that much of a temperature change?
A little bit, tiny bit.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
as soon as the sun comes up, he's out.
Is he by himself?
No. Like,
is there another ship?
There's several.
Okay.
Like, I wonder if like Hoth has a really thin atmosphere. You know how like Earth's atmosphere goes up, what, 100 miles? Maybe this one goes up like 3 miles. So like when the light...
When the sun
is not there, it drops. The temperature drops so drastically.
And when the sun hits the snow, it like lights it up more and it gets warmer.
I was gonna say, and everyone gets radiation sickness like by yep. being outside for 3 seconds.
Do you think he got money or metal for this, or just he just found him? I found him, Pete. I found him, and that's it.
It doesn't mention any kind of commendation.
Yeah.
At the state that the rebellion was in at that point, they probably weren't worrying about bestowing medals and stuff like that on people. They were trying to survive.
Yeah, and I'm sure he was genuinely happy to find them, because that's like two of your major people and two of your best pilots in general of already a scarce amount of people around. Sorry.
Didn't just keep talking. Do you think he helped Han pull Luke out of the Tauntaun?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, and put him on the ship?
I don't know.
I would think Luke was out of the Tauntaun at that point.
Yeah, by the time, because he said until I get the shelter built, so he had gotten the tent up and built by then.
Can you imagine? But here's the thing: can you imagine having to sit there in that little shelter with goopy covered Luke all night long, having to smell that?
Well, it probably didn't smell, because if they kept the temperature low, no bacteria would have grown and created that smell. So he just would have been goopy at that point.
Okay.
Unless they heated up the tent really well, which they probably had to do, actually. So never mind. I take that all back. Oh, now I'm sick.
He had to. I mean, how long do you think? Like, I don't know how long an animal that size would keep its body temperature, but putting him in there must have been a temporary thing, because eventually that thing is
going to get cold.
It's going to freeze.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
that would have been interesting.
Like, I don't know how long it takes for rigor mortis to set in and for your, but like, I don't know how long it takes for your body temperature to drop. But it was probably just long enough for him to get a tent built and get a little Coleman stove going or whatever.
Yeah.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Hamburglar.
Gobble, 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 gobble.
Well, then after that, you get the Battle of Hoth.
Yes.
And watching this today.
The first or the second? Because remember, there was one before.
I guess this would technically be
part
the second.
Two.
Okay.
The 18th Battle of Hoth.
I was watching it with my son, and
is he laughing? He better not be laughing.
No, he loves this shit.
All right,
and we're watching it, and I'm trying to make sure I get all the. I'm trying to time him out. I tell you, 37.7 seconds, and there's all these guys running around. It's like, they're like getting to their ships and stuff, and it's right after Luke is putting on his flight suit, and 2-1-B is like, "I hope you have a good flight, sir." You know, like all that bullshit.
That's kind of
and. They show a scene of like a bunch of guys run into their ships, and I never noticed this before, but this one guy almost totally wipes out.
I didn't even notice that.
And you can see on the ground there's cords.
Did he trip over one?
He steps, he's running, and his foot plants on the cord.
That'd be me.
And the cord rolls. So you see him and he loses his balance for a second. He's like, whoa. And he gets his balance back and then he's leaning forward and you see him like running.
He's in front of everybody else.
Yeah, he's like bent over running. And we watched it like 6 times. It was hilarious. And I never saw it before. So I'm just pointing that out as a public service. But he is in the Battle of Hoth, of course. He forms with Skywalker. And did you guys know what his tail gunner's name is? I learned this in doing
this. I just saw this on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kit Valente.
That's a cool name.
Yeah.
Kit.
Because there are names mentioned in the movie. Of course, there's Dak and Wedge. And they never mention his name in there, but Luke mentions Hobby.
What if Zev is talking to his watch? It says Kit.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
What do you think? I love the picture on Wikipedia of Kit Valente, the back of his head.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's just the back of his head.
It's a wig.
Well, he gets shot at several times during the thing, and you don't really, I mean, it's hard to tell who's who.
Right, yeah.
But he does get hit with laser blast, because then when you see him in the battle before his ultimate demise, he's got blood all over his face. Did you ever notice that?
No.
Yeah, it's like running down his nose. Like, he gets a bloody nose.
Yeah. Like, he's already taken some hits, and there's been some shrapnel or whatever's going on. But I always remember seeing that. There's not a lot of blood in Star Wars, and we've talked about this before with certain things. He's one of the few characters ever in Star Wars that has human, blood maybe. On him. Yeah, he's got
a bloody nose.
During most of that battle, it's mostly Luke and Dak. I mean, I just watched it. And then Wedge and Jansen, you know, you get them. And then he gets his one or two quick scenes and he's got blood on his face and then he's shot down.
Oh,
so
that's a shame.
Yeah,
it's a bloody nose shame. That was horrible. I didn't even say that. That was stupid.
You're going to cut that out.
I am.
Cut it out.
But he will go down as one of the
literally.
As one of the most distinguished members of Rogue Squadron and being attributed with 48 confirmed kills in battle, which I think sounds like a lot.
That's awesome. He reminds me just like a great friend, a great like co-pilot, a great person.
Yep.
It's all about our heads. Not that head.
Now, Zev Zaneska was played by Christopher Malcolm, the recently deceased Christopher Malcolm. I assume you guys have met him.
I will say this.
Yes.
Yes.
And this guy, yeah. This guy passed away. Hold on. You know what? Please talk about something else. I want to read the text I got from Tim.
Oh,
I did send you a text, didn't I?
I'm just trying to find it.
I know. You guys are so weird.
It's a while ago, though.
You either go, like, if someone dies in Star Wars, you either become sad and reminiscent, or you become happy that now someone on your poster is dead and your poster is more valuable.
That's horrible.
I'm reading back here. This is a new.
I don't think I wrote anything horrible.
I don't have it yet, but a new segment. Tim's past text. Pompey equals piece of shit.
This is what you and Tim do. You text back about movies.
Go ahead, talk about yourself. I'm trying to find it.
Okay, well, I know that you guys, I'm sure, have met him because I don't go to conventions and Matt doesn't either. But I know that at the Star Wars Celebration in Orlando that we did our live show, he was there, wasn't he?
I bought this for you. The heart is covering up a gigantic burned Sith erection. Enjoy. That's what I got from Tim. Hold on. Bought me a Vader pin covering Vader's dick. All right.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Oops, Matt, did you see him there?
Who? What?
Christopher Malcolm.
Where?
At the convention where we did our live show.
Oh, no. I just went to our show and went home.
he passed away on my daughter's birthday, February 16th.
Okay.
Tim sent me a picture of him, Christopher Malcolm, Zev Zaneska, from, you know, right there, I think, from some Facebook posts.
Yeah.
His next thing under it, another one that we have on our poster. But it's not mean. It's not funny.
No, it's not.
But yeah. It's just, he's just saying that there's another one we have on our poster.
And then how did you respond?
My response? Shit.
Okay.
That was our conversation about Christopher Malcolm.
That's pretty tame for you guys.
It really is.
Well, Christopher Malcolm, so you have met him and he's on your poster.
Yes.
Okay, Christopher Malcolm was a Scottish man, but he grew up in Canada. And Matt, you'll love this.
Okay.
Because he was very, very involved with the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, he was the original Brad in the stage production.
He was the original Brad in the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and he was the artistic director of the Rocky Horror Company from 1989 to 2004.
Wow.
Which meant he was in charge of all licensing and product rights for anything having to do with Rocky Horror.
Wow.
He was also in Shock Treatment. And
I've seen that once. That's the sequel to Rocky Horror, and it's
Vance Parker in Shock Treatment.
Yeah, and hard to believe I can't remember them in that.
But he's had a pretty good career. I mean, he's been in
Spies Like Us.
Yeah, he was a jump master in Spies Like Us. He was He was the father in Labyrinth. He was
He got my attention.
Oh, Force 10 from Navarone. I saw that. I like that movie.
Yeah, it's like, we're about to talk to about the guy that played Dietrich in Indiana Jones on Indiana Jones in character. He was also in Force 10 from Navarone. All these guys were in stuff with Harrison
Ford
before he was Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford.
So in Highlander.
Yep. I was waiting to see if this would come up.
Kirk Matunar?
Yeah, have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay, then. I don't know that you'll recognize it. I can tell you who he is unless you want to try to pick him out, and we'll discuss it on when we record that episode.
Yeah, but that might be more fun.
Okay.
Tune into the Grady's for our Highlander discussion.
Coming this month. Actually, with the time this airs, that's already out.
Yeah, it's true. In theory. Well, maybe not. Still could be coming next month.
He was in Superman 3.
Superman 3, yeah.
One day.
He played one of the coal miners at the end when he drops off Gus Gorman.
It was the best one.
And I like the show, but Matt
Wait a minute. What says? Baby Maids? What's this called again?
Midwives?
Baby Maids. Baby Maids.
Baby Maids? No.
I don't know, but that's a show we should start working on.
He was on Absolutely Fabulous from 1992.
Okay. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it.
11 episodes.
So he's done some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking
In Reds. Did I just see that?
I didn't see Reds, but you might be right. I was looking. I looked up the cast just because I was curious. From Force 10.
Yeah, he was. He was in Reds. Sorry.
That's all right. From Force 10 from Navarone with Harrison Ford. Listen to this cast. I've never seen this movie.
That's a great movie. That's really good movie.
You've seen the movie?
My father was a huge fan.
Listen to this cast. Besides Harrison Ford. Robert Shaw.
Yeah.
You'd love
Robert Shaw. I love Robert Shaw. Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, whatever you want to say about Robert Shaw. Carl Weathers. Richard Kiel.
It's just a great,
And then Michael Sheard is in it. So there's all these there's some other Star Wars people in Force 10 from Navarone. We should start at Force 10 from Navarone in character.
It's directed by Guy Hamilton, who did a bunch of Bond movies, including Goldfinger.
That's probably why all those Bond actors in there. Charlotte. Yeah.
That guy Michael Byrne that was Vogel in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade was in it.
Yeah.
There's all these little tangents from all these movies that seem to come together in that.
Several Star Wars people. I mean, Angus McInnes. He was in Star Wars. That. Leslie Schofield. Hey. He was in Star Wars. Wow.
That was cool.
A lot of people from London Central Casting.
There you go. That's probably what it was. Now, as far as action figures and stuff like that, the first action, he did not have an original action figure in the Canada line. The first action figure was released as a Target exclusive in the Rogue 2 Snowspeeder pack. So you bought the Snowspeeder and he came with it. But in 2007, he was chosen by fans as the winner of the Saga Legends Showdown as the figure that they wanted released.
And
He was the last figure released in that collection.
I remember that.
People have a place for him in their heart. As soon as I brought this up to my son, because, I mean, this name, it's like some of these names, this is never mentioned by name in the movie. But as soon as I brought it up, my son was like, oh, I know him from the Legos. Like, there's a Lego set with the Snowspeeders, and it comes and it's right on the box. It's like, this is Zeb Zaneska.
So he has
his own Lego figure. So he's earned his place in Star Wars fandom and history. Do you guys remember meeting him at all? Like, what was he like?
Nope.
I would say it was nice.
Yeah, I don't remember meeting him. And I honestly don't remember which celebration we met him at. It was at one of the celebrations, but I can't remember.
I think Timmy were trying to find him, and then all of a sudden I said, "I found him."
I found him.
And then he came running over.
Yeah, I don't really have a huge recollection. I do know that he was at the last celebration. I do know that, but I'm pretty sure we had got him at a previous one.
Yeah, I think we did.
So he was at the one that Matt and I were at, but you didn't get him.
Right.
Because you're...
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, it's a shame that he's dead, because and this character seems to have found its little niche in Star Wars fandom.
That's how me and Tomorrow, we're so excited to get an autograph from somebody, man. But once we get them, we move on.
You don't care about them.
No.
Well, I mean, there's certain people like that I'll talk with. You know, if they've done other things other than Star Wars, like I remember Roger Christian, who was at the last one. I was talking with him because he directed Battlefield Earth.
Oh God!
I was talking with him about Battlefield Earth for about 5 minutes, and because I like that movie, I don't care what anybody says.
He likes it too. I do.
I like the action figure that
exterminate all man animals
at will. Rat brain. This is the second Barry Pepper.
Barry Pepper
episode in a row.
What happened to Travolta, man? Lately, though.
Oh, jeez.
What the hell's going on with him, man?
What do you mean?
He misread the girl's name.
So
on what? The Oscars, like,
that is
you misread half the names on this show.
Yeah, I'm not the Oscars doing it.
That was blown out of proportion.
Yeah, people are really. There's even like a new Facebook trivia, whatever it's called, that you can change your name to have Travolta reads it.
Yeah, that's stupid. I watched that. I don't know who that woman is. I never saw Frozen. I don't give a crap about Frozen or that song. When he said the name, it sounded fine to me. I don't know. I don't know who she is. And people are like, "Did you hear him say the name wrong?"
He's like, "It's a mess, man."
Was it the girl that sings that thing? That,
yeah, it's right by Dave, right over there. It's a soundtrack. I have it.
Wait, what's her name?
It's a good song.
Oh my!
Better than the movie. The song is better than the movie.
Let it go. This.
Let it go. That is a fucking awesome song.
Travolta, this name's a nightmare.
Good.
Idina Menzel.
That's it. How hard was it?
Yeah, yeah.
What did he say?
He said Goonie Goo Goo.
His wig, his toupee is pulled so far back. His face is fucking stretched.
Sandy!
What was his last great movie that he was in?
He was in Savages.
That was awesome. When he just stabbed a fucking federal agent.
Yeah, yeah.
He's great. I don't care what you say. No. I don't care what.
He's your Mel Gibson.
I don't care
what. Me, my Mel Gibson.
Man massages him or whatever.
Yeah, and that too. Him. Come on now.
I love that guy.
Look at my penis. Was that good?
Look at it. Gaze upon it. Soak it in.
What'd you say? Soak it in. Never mind. I heard something else.
Well, that's
hey, Chris. Just so you know,
yes,
he is in Gummy Bear the movie.
Oh, well,
I did hear that. I think on Hollywood Babylon. I did hear that. Trust me.
He's been in the past several years. He's been in more good movies than bad movies. Savages.
That's bullshit.
Paris with Love. Taking a Pelham. Those three movies were all very good.
Taking a Pelham was good.
That was good.
Come on.
Taking a Pelham. From Paris with Love, I enjoyed. And no. Savage was awesome. Yeah. I didn't see Killing Season. I don't know what that one is.
Right.
Don't say it.
From this day on, leave Mel alone. I'll leave John Travolta alone.
I love Mel Gibson. He's insane.
At least he can read a girl's name.
I love his movies. All right, that's all I got on Zeb Zinesca. Right.
What does Matt have about Zeb Zinesca?
What does Matt have? Matt has... Oh, okay. This is... It's zevzinesca.blogspot.com, and it's a little bit of a fan fiction tale that goes on with accompanying pictures of him in Lego form, but you know, before too many people groan and moan that it's a stupid fan fiction thing, let me read you the description of the opening page. It says, "Hello, my name is Rudy. I'm 8 years old. My dad and I are writing about the adventures of Zed Seneska and his Rebel Alliance friends, and they're mysteriously transported to a strange new world." So it's this little father-son thing where they share the love for Star Wars and are being creative. So that's why I thought this would be fun to share.
That's sweet.
Yeah, exactly.
Beautiful.
I like that.
All right.
Well, Dave.
Yes.
It's time.
It is time for Who Said That?
Who Said That?
Quotes.
Yeah. And what we are doing is getting a random quote from a random Star Wars movie. If you get the quote correct, you get a point. If you get the context of the quote, you get an additional point. And you three guys are one movie away from collecting a quote from each movie to get 5 bonus.
I'm getting my 5 points tonight.
You think so?
Yeah, I feel it coming. I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, that's what it was.
All right, Tim. You're first. Mm-hmm. And here is your quote.
This.
I think I got it. I got it.
Tag!
Shoot.
Prepare to fire.
That sounds like a nerd.
I think I got it. I got it.
Blast him.
I think I got it.
Like that Outcast song.
What was that again?
I think I got it. I got it.
What was that again?
I think I got it. I got it.
Huh? Oh, geez, that is tough. I'm going to make it. This is just a guess.
I said hold it.
Harrison Ford, or Han Solo, in Empire Strikes Back when they're trying to get the...
I think I know this.
So they're trying to get this the Falcon started when they're trying to get away from Hoth. For some reason, that sounds like a scene that it could be part of. Final answer.
I think I got it. I don't know.
That quote was spoken by Han Solo.
Hey!
Not Empire.
For a point. But it was not spoken in Empire Strikes Back. What do you think, Chris?
When he's trying to save Lando, but he's still blind.
Oh.
That is also incorrect.
Is it really? Oh.
It is when he's trying to hotwire the doors of the bunker.
Okay.
He says, I think I got it. I got it. And then the bigger door comes.
The shots. Yeah. Yeah.
He grabs her boob. Is that the part?
Yeah. That's close to that.
Okay.
So
she gets shot.
You do get a point.
Oh, hey. And he was trying to help Han. Yeah. Help Lando come up a little bit. I got it. I like to hand him the. I'll shut up.
Good guess. No, I mean, those quotes are hard because it's just, it could be whatever.
That's but you completely out of context and it's just hard to figure out.
Squeaked a point out of it, though. All right, Matt.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I am.
Here's your quote. She didn't even recognize me, Jar Jar. I thought about her every day since we parted, and she's forgotten me completely.
Okay, that's that idiot Anakin Skywalker again. I think it's in episode 2. Now, I could take the easy way out and say it's right after him and Padme see each other for the first time since episode 1.
And? I understand.
The first time they see each other in her quarters when her and Obi-Wan are assigned to protect her. I'll try to be a little more specific. Final answer.
What did you say?
That is spoken by Anakin Skywalker to Jar Jar after he sees her for the first time in episode 2. That's 2 points.
All right.
It's unfair. It's unfair.
I had that movie, didn't I?
You did have that movie, yet. Tim had Return of the Jedi already, and you had episode 2.
It's unfair.
You guys are on fire. You haven't gotten one wrong in like a while.
It's unfair. It's unfair.
It's unfair. It's not fair.
Is that stuck?
That's the same person.
Yeah.
Different times?
Yeah.
He does a lot of complaining about what's fair.
He does, yeah.
Done.
What have I done?
Done.
That is funny. All right. I'm going to say this. My past 2 rounds, I know I'm pretty good. You know I'm going to get fucked deep pretty soon.
Fuck deep.
We're going to fuck this guy. We're going to fuck him deep.
That's something.
How can you do this?
Are you ready?
No.
Get ready, because you're sure.
No, no, I don't believe I am.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Ooh.
I think it's a recording from somebody saying it. Like a machine, a robot. The Death Star plans are not in the main computer. Oh my god. I have to guess who says it in what movie or what scene in a movie.
Just give me any information you can.
I can't. Read it again, but slower.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Read like a woman.
The Death Star plans
are... Read it like Bill Cosby.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer.
Really, when we do quotes again, that's how we have to do it. All Bill Cosby.
No, I am your father.
I want to say it's a computer saying it. Like it's something. My God. It's probably so simple. It's probably hanging right in front of my face. I just want to grab it. What's that? The question.
Like a... Uh-oh.
The Death Star plans are not in the main computer. Oh, my God. No, it's probably so simple.
It's man talking to other man in movie.
Done. 2 points. I have no idea. Mon Mothma. No idea. I have Mon Mothma during the whole meeting. That's my guess.
Final answer.
Final answer, Regis.
The person listed as saying that is Imperial Officer.
Yeah.
And they're saying it to Darth Vader at the very beginning of episode 4 when he's about to interrogate and choke.
Yeah.
Oh, what's his face?
Yeah.
I thought it was a stormtrooper that said it.
I wanted to say
that's what I was thinking. I
kept hearing a robot's voice, like a machine's voice or something.
Yeah, like a stormtrooper. That over the comm thing, yeah.
It has that affect to it, like it's spoken through a machine.
That was a good question, but...
Well, either way, you didn't get it right, but it's listed as Imperial Officer, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, it's like that...
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Or not in a main computer.
Cosby. Yeah.
It's listed as Imperial Officer, but at any rate, you don't get the points, so...
Shit, man.
Sorry about that. Wow. You had that movie anyway, so even if you had it, you would not have gotten the 5 bonus points.
All right.
You need episode 2.
Oh, joy.
You can have my next one.
What? Yeah, really?
Matt needs episode 1.
Oh, really? I haven't been... Oh, I probably get those wrong. That's why. Okay.
Tim needs episode 5, which is weird. And Chris, you need episode 2.
It's all behind us. There's no quotes. Oh, here you go.
Quotes.
Are ready?
Quotes.
The motion has been seconded.
Burned it.
I'm drinking. Second by Bail Organa of Alderaan. The motion has been seconded by Bail Organa of Alderaan.
Okay. I can't remember this happening in any of the Senate scenes. There was that weird scene with who's Tim's girlfriend? The Chinese woman.
There's no answer to that.
Bei Ling.
Oh.
That. It doesn't exist.
All right.
There was that scene
take a deep breath. Really?
But it could have been one of those Senate scenes. Man, those things all run together.
Your move.
Creep.
Shakespeare's RoboCop.
Seconded by Bail Organa. And someone that he would support. I'm going to say that's Queen Amidala. Speaking.
What is that noise?
It sounds like Chris.
Yeah, that's Obi-Wan laughing.
Oh.
That sounds like you. It sounds like you.
Yeah.
It's, do it again. Do it.
McGregor, Obi-Wan, chuckling.
That sounds like you.
It did. That's why I was wondering what the hell that was.
Oh, don't worry.
I'm going to say that's Queen Amidala speaking in the Senate in episode one.
No!
What? Come again? Speak up?
No!
Who was it?
You're in the right now. It wasn't her. It was Tim Prine. Is it, do who it is, Tim?
Say the line one more time.
Ugh. No! Oh, wrong one.
I believe it's Terrence Stamp. No, it wouldn't be Terrence Stamp. It would be the Chancellor, Palpatine.
Now it's Mos Eisley.
Oh yeah,
Bail Organa is Alderaan seconds his motion for a vote of no confidence in Chancellor Delorum.
I'm already tired.
Motion has been soon.
That's a deleted scene because. Bail Organa was,
and the Bail
system. His scenes weren't added into episode one.
Yeah,
I think in fact, it was a different actor.
Look right here says the whole cast says vote now. I remember that scene at all.
They say that.
Do they really?
Yeah, they say that in the movie. That's when the ETs and stuff were like getting all pissed off and moving all over.
But yeah, that's a deleted scene.
All right,
partly deleted scene.
No points for me, no points for Chris. That means after this episode, Tim is 23. Matt is 18. Chris has 15, and I have 12.
Dave, do you know what the opposite of saying yes real long is?
No.
No. The opposite of saying yes real long.
What is it?
No! Yes.
18 O's right there.
Yeah, okay.
Well, thank you very much for remembering Zev Zaneska.
These are the times to remember, because they will not last forever.
Repeat, I found them.
It's so
keep it to yourself, it's my life.
To say goodbye to Zev Zaneska.
Join us next time, discuss. Go who? I said it wrong. Is that right?
Goel.
Goel.
Like
Goel.
Oh man, that was a missed opportunity for Christmas. Goel.
Goel. Man, we're banging these fuckers out, man.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.